What it was. I didn't start the recording. I felt something was missing. But I wanted to say Aries is the beginning of the astrological year, and it has loads of first ray. It is the foremost sign on the first ray at this time. And you know how there are, you know, there's Aries, Leo, and Capricorn, and at different times, each one of them becomes the preeminent sign. At this time, Aries is the preeminent sign. And, you know, it's with our worldwide epidemic here, it's interesting that this month of Aries, with its idea of resurrection and its rulership of the, let's see what I've got here. Yeah. I just want to make sure that there's no other, yeah, no other microphones on. It is connected with the seventh initiation of all things. Of course, every one of the signs of the zodiac can be connected with one of the subplanes, and probably they're all active on all subplanes and on subplanes. But it's the first subplane of the various cosmic subplanes or solar planes, you know, the ones we usually talk about, logoic, monadic, atmic, and all of that. Those are called solar planes. It's there that Aries is particularly found. As I say, it's a very monadic kind of unitary sign. It's got within it the sense of being. And when people are at the right stage of evolution, and when they have strong Aries, they are in a position to understand what being is, or to participate in it. We talk glibly about it, but that is the point. Oftentimes associated with the third initiation, where the beginning of an understanding or participation in, understanding of or participation in being does occur. The very heart of it all, you know, you kind of think about India. We don't really know yet the monadic signs of the countries. Humanity is just not there yet. And the countries haven't developed to that extent, but at least the soul ray of India, first ray and Aries, does somehow explain their high philosophical essence, essential pursuit of being, or that, or sat, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, the that, thou art that. Can't really be named. So here we are in the middle of this epidemic, and it's a terrible thing until you begin to think about that it's been, well, it's obviously been initiated by Sanat Kumara 100 years ago, well, maybe even during the Second World War. A universal epidemic was discussed as a means of getting humanity straightened out. And here in the sign of resurrection, we have so far our most serious peaking in turn, you know, coming to that peak as far as humanity is concerned. And we're all implicated. I think that's the issue, that we're all in the same boat. The Pope said so, really. He says this is a affecting every one of us. And to see those pictures of him giving a solo sort of mass in those broad Vatican spaces, which are usually crammed with thousands and thousands, and there he is, a lonely figure in white. We have to find a way to help each other and not compete, and to release the energy of love. I mean, we have in Aries something very interesting. It's the lamb slain from the foundations of the world. That was an astrological period of 26,000 years, the Tibetan tells us, a long time ago. We don't even know how long. Maybe it was within the period when the Aryan race was developing. But there is the will to create in Aries, which somehow takes into consideration the third aspect of divinity, with Capricorn being the will that conquers death, taking into consideration the first aspect of the first ray. Here we're having with Aries the third aspect of the first ray. And we're having the Lamb, the great cosmic Christ, slain through incarnation from the foundation of the world, whenever that foundation took place. And then we're having the tremendous first ray expressions of Aries, you know, Great Bear, Aries, Pluto, and Pluto and Aries are very, very connected, and to Shambhala. And as Tuya was talking about it, they are members of the first ray triangle, Aries, Leo, Capricorn. But then again, we have the fire triangle, which is Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. Sagittarius not having the first ray the way Aries and Leo do. These energies are so tremendous. We're just beginning to get a sample about them. So what can we really do at this harrowing time, when it wouldn't surprise me if millions across the globe die, make the transition? What can we do? You know, and it's really basically start a new way of life, because Aries is always the beginning. We are facing a new equinoctial age, and we're facing something much larger, a great Platonic year. And we're told that Aries ushers in the new age, even though it's an age of, Aquarius. Nevertheless, Aries is the push behind it. So we all need a new regime. And maybe we who are students of esotericism, we might know a little bit more about it right now, and have received some info that helps us understand. But pretty soon, humanity in greater mass will understand. This is really a beginning. Now, of course, it's marshaled in by death. And this is a very, I don't know, it's a calculated disease. It doesn't show itself. One can be afflicted and not know it for days and days. As a matter of fact, one can pass through the entire cycle and be contagious to others and not even know that one has been inflicted. This really has been, from wherever it came, there's so many different theories about how it arose. It can't all be correct. But is probably that universal epidemic, which has been anticipated by the forward-thinking people, and it's meant to start us on a new track and help us end some of the limitations of the age of Pisces. Of course, it was declared an epidemic, I think, on March 11th, worldwide epidemic or pandemic, in the middle of Pisces. And Pisces has, again, so much to do with death. It's amazing, but some of the leading figures in the Holocaust and the horrors of Second World War, and there were plenty of horrors in the First World War too, they had so much Pisces. It's certainly, you know, and Pluto. They were terminators, no question about it. But how shall we now, in the next 5 years, use our best esoteric knowledge to help from within and to put our lives on a new track? We have no idea whether this is a recurring disease. Now, there's been statements basically that are saying, huh, you may have gotten it and you may be over it and then you get it again. Now, that would be a real horror, because it would show, you know, that the antibodies were not doing their job. We just don't know. We're just into it. But we do know that planetarily it's meant to help correct so much that's wrong with humanity. I'm not really sure that these are, you know, excellent images by Jofre. They're pretty Martian. And we know that Mars, Mercury, and Uranus are the rulers, if we consider the esoteric angle, and where would we get that except from Master DK? It's not just rampant Mars we're looking at here. We're looking at the possibility of real penetration into the world of ideas, going into the cosmic ethers and seizing ideas which must come down. So, as I say, this very quite violent image does have its limitations. You know, but it is that way in the beginning, and the beginning lasts a long time. Maybe a long time before you're in a position to take advantage of the world of ideas via Mercury, or to bring in a totally archetypal design via Uranus, the real new. Because the hierarchical ruler there is Uranus, and it's got the same rays as Aries, first and seventh, and some other things. Maybe, you know, probably the fifth, because it is the electrical planet, and DK even hinted at the third. So it's a 1, 3, 5, 7, very synthetic planet, and he even gave it a lineup with Sirius, which is startling, and put it in the column, a sixfold column, 18-fold, where Sirius was the center descending list and Uranus was the planet, and was a definitely a, well, we can connect it with the law of freedom, but it's a second ray connection. You know, Sirius has the brilliant star of sensitivity and the law of freedom and the intermediate law of karma. So we're certainly free to make our karma in a quite unobstructed way when the Aries energy comes in. Not all of us can respond to the Uranian aspect of it, but we can certainly respond as disciples in training to the Mercurian aspect. And that is, part of the Antikorana and a reaching towards the archetype into the world of ideas. And then finally, when we reach the archetype, we can find our home in the sea of fire. That's the, Logoic plane, sea of fire. Think of it, Aries, Uranus, sea of fire, resurrection, seventh initiation, all those things apply. Now, BL has written in the chat box where you can find Francis's analysis of Aries is always good. And I know that not all of you, even though it's been there for a long time, have read it, so I would go there. I'm just kind of, elaborating on what strikes me about this great sign of origination. Aries. They say of Alexander the Great that, who had Aries rising, that he didn't just let his soldiers fight, he was the first upon the battlements. A terrifying figure, you see. Well, in Aries, you're willing to take the risk to do that which is new. And we are so stultified by the dregs, you know that word, dregs, of what remains from the age of Pisces. We really have to break through. We really have to break through this. And if we're going to, of course, and the question is, will it be successful? You know, the age of Aquarius is not all sweetness and light. As a matter of fact, it rules epidemics. You know, for good or for bad, it's what spreads among human beings. It travels all over the earth, for good or for ill. And somehow, I'm sure, Sanat Kumara obviously knows the karma, and we don't, but we certainly have to burn up in this fire sign. And with the fevers to go with it, so much that is preventing our entry first into the smaller equinoctial age. At least, we're not sure we're going to enter the right way. And later, not too far from now, at a time that is not within our science to predict, the great Platonic age, which begins with Aquarius. Sort of maybe Aquarius, I don't know. And then going through all the sub-signs until we have that period of approximately 25,000 years. So I come forth, and from the plane of mind I rule. But how do I come forth? I wonder if I can get that for you. I'd like to... I'd like to be able to do it. And I think, Julia. Uh-oh. Who's speaking? All right. I just like to hear the sound of my own voice, don't I? So here is... Julia's thing, and I want to just elaborate on, I come forth and from the plane of mind I rule. Because it's difficult to understand what that may really mean. And I'm going to try to explain it in a way that makes sense to me anyway. I am the monad. Whatever you are, you're the monad. And you do come forth descending into the lower six planes. The division is 1 and 6. You come, well, basically, you even come forth in a sea of fire. And there's another kind of division from the sixth plane descending through the five. But notice this line, very straight, not dotted, straight to the center of the jewel and the lotus. I come forth and I descend into the higher mental plane, and there I, the monad, you know, there's a jewel on the monadic level, and I replicate that jewel in some way on the higher mental plane, at first on the third sublevel. And it's from the higher mental plane, as the soul, that I, the reflection of the monad, still the monad, rule. I come forth onto the higher mental plane. I recreate the jewel, or a jewel. And from that point, I learn to rule as the soul rules. Now, just, you know, to take a quick look, and you can elaborate more, Francis depicts the monad and the soul and the personality. You notice that the soul, the central figure, is more hands-on and guiding through the particulars its personality. The monad is a great impersonal sphere of awareness. And, yeah, there it is. And he has many interesting things said here. And here is, again, the monad and the angel. Now, that angel is a supervisory deity by this point, and stands for a while between the monad and its final projection on the lower planes, the personality. But we do get the feeling of how that winged creature, which was once a human being and has been trained apparently on Sirius, how it takes monadic energy and adapts it. I come forth, and from the plane of mind, I, in combination with the solar angel and all that I've built up in my training in Sirius, I rule. So self-rulership, according to the principles of being, is what we find in that great statement. We find the monad involved, not just the soul, and not just the lower plane of mind, but something much greater. And yeah, I think that's going to be enough of that. So Francis has really drawn these in such a way that the triple man is strongly demonstrated. And I don't know how many of us consider ourselves to be the triple man. I mean, really. How many of us get the threefoldness of our nature, intelligence, love, and will? And certainly the activity side, the intelligence side, in correlation with the third ray personality of planet Earth, that's the strongest, obviously. I come forth. And what do I rule? Well, there have been many, many dictators and absolute rulers with the powerful Aries, but the most important thing is to rule yourself according to the archetypal plan, to rule yourself according to the archetypal plan. And as I say, Francis elaborates on all this, and BL has given us in the chat box, she's given us everything we need to go there. Quotations from DK, Francis's geometry, and explanations. There's so much to learn. The key is to manifest it. So renewal, resurrection, and let us hope that with all this suffering, it's just amazing, you know, every time I turn to Johns Hopkins charts, you know, it's a famous medical school and technical school, I just see the number of cases going up, 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 all the time, accompanied every once in a while by an adjustment in the number of deaths. So we certainly owe it to ourselves if we can manage to take precautions and stay clear of this so we can be of greater usefulness. The real heroes now are the doctors, nurses, the medical workers. It's a very sacrificial thing they're involved in. And if you've looked at some of these hospitals, some overwhelmed, some on the point of overwhelm, you realize this really means business. And it's coming 5 years before the Great Conclave. It's no accident. Anyway, friends. Now, let's see if I can. Oh, and I just want to, you know, also say, isn't that beautiful? Beautiful, and there's something about the deep midnight blue that is also associated with Aries. And I just want to say, I think we've got, hope I can find it. Here's Dwayne's image of this, Dwayne Carpenter. The way of motion is there. The ups and downs of life, the sine curve, the major rays, the first and the seventh, and sort of a combination of what happens with when you place red upon blue. And it's a point of light, you know, a brilliant point of light that we find in Aries, and it's going to be expanding all the way through until it runs its course. All right. Now let's meditate. There's a lot to learn, friends. There's just a lot to learn. We're really in that, we're in the day of distribution, or rather safeguarding. We've passed through the days of confidence, aspiration, and dedication. depending on whether you do it in a sevenfold manner or a fivefold manner. And now we are receiving. And I'm hoping that it makes a great difference in the livingness that we experience. That's my hope. Because we are confronting the forces of death, all of us. And there is a way to accomplish what it is that Sanat Kumara seeks to accomplish if the energy of love, real love, in a global sense, were to be released upon the planet. I really wonder, maybe it would signal the end, the mysterious end of this pandemic. Of course, we're not going to be near that. We're still, you know, what can I say? We're blaming each other. That's not what is desired, I'm quite sure. Okay. So we'll withdraw from the personality. It's simply our instrument. We'll pull back until we can become the observer of the personality. And we know in a way we are the soul in incarnation. We are the combination of being and consciousness in the incarnation. Let's just try to realize that. The personality is the instrument. It can slip away, it can dematerialize, it can no longer be associated with us, and yet we are. And we're more than that, we actually are the soul, not just the soul in the incarnation, we're the soul on its own plane. And we're more than that too. But on the plane of soul, we blend with each other, we merge with each other. We know ultimately there is no my soul and thy soul. That's easily said. Ultimately, no my soul and thy soul, but only the soul. And it takes a special state of consciousness to enter into that. Finally, there is that. Finally, there's pure being, but we can begin by the group consciousness that treats the men and women of goodwill as brothers and sisters. It treats the new group of world servers as advanced co-workers. And finally, it reaches the One. So we just stay in that sense of know my soul and thy soul. That merging of all souls. That's where the Son of Mind comes in, you know, just the way droplets of the metal mercury merge with each other. If you've ever experimented with the old thermometers, they form one unitary globule, perhaps. They have an affinity for each other, and all they do is touch and merge. And all of humanity as well, not anybody in incarnation or out of incarnation, you have to feel the identity with all of those aspects of the soul. The one universal soul, all souls are one with the Oversoul. Finally, the third fundamental of the secret doctrine. And we are trying to build that bridge to a higher place where higher vibrations can impact us. So, you know, we have been given the technique of the Antikarana, and from the astral body toward the buddhic, and a point of projection through the energies gathered at the mental unit. Let's imaginatively gather them from below. And from the knowledge petals of the egoic lotus, and from the love petals of the egoic lotus, and the mental petals, the sacrifice petals, we gather them into that pool of retained energies in the magnetic field of the mental unit. We gather this sense of synthesis and we gather the power of the jewel and the lotus, the powers. And we direct all energies through this field of retained energies upward. In reality, we never really reach those permanent atoms, but we go toward the permanent atoms of the triad. They are, well, they pertain to, some of them, states of consciousness higher than the master. And so to reach the elder brother's great points of light and love and sacrifice and synthesis and being, to reach them, we project that rapier line of white light up the colored antikarana, mainly with the color of indigo, since this is a group meditation. And we're going to use the word of power of the second ray, I see the greatest light. So we will sound the om as we inwardly intone, I see the greatest light, seeing our projection move into receptivity to the higher worlds. It's an imaginative exercise, but it does touch the subtle things. And one day there will be a meeting of the projection, who is the prodigal son returning to the father's home, and the father running forth to greet the returning son. It's quite a little allegory. But for us, we try to be receptive to these higher vibrations and spend a few moments imagining that receptivity. So increasingly our center of focus is the cosmic ethers, and the kind of very subtle but powerful energies which there exist among our great friends, the masters of the wisdom. You know, what's been said is that hierarchy is friendship in its truest sense. So we say we really want to help these great beings. And of course, we help ourselves as we do it, definitely. So we send our salutations to the great Christ, the head and heart, it says both, of the spiritual hierarchy. We sound the Om, pledging our allegiance. Part of being a real pledged disciple to the Christ, the teacher alike of angels and of men. Oh. So let all of us be of assistance according to our abilities. And to the three great lords who cared so much about humanity that they went through unusual sacrifices to bring the ageless wisdom closer to them, the Master Moria, the Master KH, the Kutumi, Master Chualku. And the Master Moria is the head of all the esoteric schools and organizations. We pledge our cooperation with him. The Master Kuhumi, the coming Christ of an age beyond the present coming age of Aquarius. Master Kuhumi, who will be the world teacher. In an age that embodies a lot of the fifth ray. Oh. And the Master DK, the messenger of the masters at this time, tasked with bringing the three installments of the Ageless Wisdom forward. Installment 2 is now completed and 3 is coming up around the year 2025. A great training ashram he operates. And maybe our own master is one of those three, or maybe not. But according to our best supposition, or according to our knowledge, we sound the Om, pledging cooperation with our own master, whomever that may be. And to the whole hierarchy, meaning so well for humanity and having such a heart-centered role to play in the divine plan, we express our gratitude. Now we also, although, you know, in true possibility, it's not possible, but we open ourselves up as a group in deep reverence to the Lord of the world, the head of Shambhala, the one who is now incarnating specifically in relation to our globe, this lowest of all the globes. And we seek to be impressed by the divine will as much as we can fathom. Of that will. It would make such a difference in our lives and the lives of our group. We allow a long silent ohm to roll forth as we seek as a reverent group to become aligned with the Lord of the world. These are the days now when we can touch higher energies, and with when the limitations to which we have so long been subjected can begin to dissipate. Imagine, to the best of our ability, carrying forward the will of God. But all of these energies, really, you know, they're going to come to us via the mediatorship of the masters. So as if all of us who are working in this group and the spiritual group and the spiritual aspects of the new group of world servers who understand a little bit of occultism, we gather at a point. A point of light, love, and power. And a long golden pathway goes into the heart of an indigo sun. After all, we are the blue logos, we're told. And above that golden pathway, which will be withdrawn into the indigo sun, we, the group, hover, and as the golden pathway moves towards absorption into the indigo sun, we move with it. As if we are moving into the presence of Master DK's consciousness, as if to become outposts of that consciousness. Until we are absorbed and can begin to be permeated by his consciousness, which is so vast, especially in these matters of the rays and the astrological factors and the creative hierarchies, so that when we see somewhat through his eyes, because we will now imagine that we encounter Mars, Mercury, and Uranus. So with Master DK's help, it's as if we raise our consciousness towards the constellation Aries, not a big constellation, but powerful. And bring in Mars, the exoteric ruler, conveying fortitude, which we all need, and the will to fight for a higher ideal. And Mercury, the esoteric ruler, conveying the power to apprehend the archetypal idea and destroy illusion through fiery mental process. The jungles of illusion dissolve in flames and the path stands free. And then Uranus, the highest ruler, hierarchical, conveying electric fire and pure will for the ultimate vivification of the entire human energy system through linking that system with the world of being. It's as if these energies are really here, which of course they are, but they're here in a more intense way now. And we have not only to act as if, we have to somehow feel their presence. Mars is so close. The school of warriors, the planet of all warriors. And we need the spiritual courage, don't we? Think about where you need spiritual courage. And an undying, fiery aspiration for fusion with divinity and for the successful manifestation of the divine ideal. We need it. Not everybody can handle it. Sometimes you meet these Martian people who really can lead against adversity. It's got a lot of first ray as well as sixth ray, and has the fifth ray there too. We allow ourselves to be impressed by Mars, give us more strength, more courage wherever we may need it. Allow it to come into our groups wherever need is there. I think DK said he wished that his group had been younger, but also braver, more courageous. and we sound this om, welcoming Mars into our life and its right use in our groups, not just friction, but mobilization. We imagine we are Mars endowed. And when we look at the days of distribution coming up, we know we will be distributing courage too. And then there's Mercury, quite a pitted planet, you might say. Not much atmosphere there to stop the asteroids and space debris from hitting. But so much more internally, the home of the transcendental mind, really so many aspects of mind, birthplace of ideas, supporting Aries as the birthplace of ideas, the transmitter of new ideas, and the bridge between the archetypal worlds and the worlds of men. So let's open to Mercury. DK is so much Mercury. He is the messenger of the hierarchy. So each one of us becomes a transmitting bridge, a link between higher and lower, one who can enter into the world of ideas, which we don't normally do, but one who can also think abstractly, concretely. You'll represent Mercury. Your group can represent Mercury. As we sound the om, let's think about how our group and groups can represent Mercury. There's a lot to communicate, a lot to impart. We have largely a secondary group, and there's so much to pass from person to person, so much to transmit. Imagine yourself the transmitter, the receiver. And the transmitter. And imagine your group imbued with the virtues of Mercury. And then there's Uranus, appearing as a kind of turquoise planet, not the blue of Neptune so much, entirely anyway. It's a first ray monadic planet, correlating very strongly with Aries. And it really takes us into the world of fire, where instead of doing things the way our habits and desires condition them, we do things according to a great purpose and a grand design. And when the shift comes, it seems drastic. But in fact, it was always intended. So shall we take it from the seventh ray aspect, which is more prominent now, or from the first ray aspect, which its first ray monad will give us? The three and the five are also there. And as I said earlier, even the two. Maybe not so much the four and the six, although the idealism is there. Let's let that Uranian energy come into us and into our groups. Because then we really become creative. If you think about the will to create, which Aries is associated with, we can see Mercury play a big part in that. Creating the new. The new has always been there since the design was conceived, but it's new to us. So we have to hold out hope even in these desperate times that the new will be created. So become a real innovator on behalf of the grand design and carry the purpose through as much as we can understand it. So let's imagine that our groups really become creative and much more in line with what is the design intended. Oh. We need creative groups, not just repeating the old, but discerning what is the new. So we are now more courageous. We are more bridging and communicative. More at home in the world of ideas. We are more creative, archetypal, if we take advantage of these possibilities. These planetary energies are here. And we can be regenerated. Finally, that's what, let's just say, transcendental Uranus will give us. We can be regenerated to the pattern that we were always expected to carry through once our eyes cleared. We should really come out of this period stronger. The world needs so much help. But always filled with love, because the solar logos, the logos blue, is a great heart center in the cosmic logos. So no matter what we can do on what ray, it's the energy of love. Finally, which we have to express. That's a big leap today, and so necessary in these days of undevelopment and selfishness. They all serve love. The attendant planets serve the solar logos. They serve love. And it's up to every one of us to find the way in to that love. Our God is a consuming fire of love. And in this solar system, it is the love wisdom which is supposed to emerge, more so than the pure will and more so than intelligence per se. We turn our attention to this little constellation, Aries, and not only, well, there's a light that goes with it, you know, the light of life itself, as Tui was discussing. This is, at first, the dim point of light found at the center of the cycle of manifestation, faint and flickering. It would be built into something tremendous. It is the searchlight of the Logos, seeking that which can be used for divine expression. Esoteric Astrology, page 330, all the 12 different types of light are listed. And this light of light itself seems to be associated sometimes with Pisces and even with the light of life with Taurus. And so in addition to the first and seventh rays, we have to think in a subsidiary sense of how to use the sixth ray Mars, the fourth ray Mercury, and the seventh ray Uranus. We're really beginning a five-year run-up to the Great Conclave, which, well, we don't know, but probably Waysak 2025. It's so shambolic, you know, Waysak is. Even though it's the forces of enlightenment which we encounter. But remember that Shambhala is the home of unfettered enlightenment. We have such a responsibility, friends, if we can but remember our responsibility. And as we look towards Aries, we think about the magnificent statement. I try to elaborate a little. I come forth. And from the plane of mind, I rule. From the monad through every aspect of the lower man, which are the monad in extension, each one of those. We have to just find the monad in all of the veils which hide the monad. Are we ready to come forth? How will we do it? Maybe first as the one soul, not just as the dominating personality, but as the one soul of humanity. Soul expression at first, I come forth. Ruling on the higher mental plane, all the veils. It can be a new life. And although it's not going to be the seventh degree resurrection, it can feel like a resurrection, arising out of darkness, arising out of the tomb of stultified consciousness. I come forth, and from the plane of mind I rule. We're not far off, of course. The way we've done it tonight is that at 12:55 GMT, we will, start the actual, full moment of the full moon, and it will be at 2:34 and 56 seconds GMT, giving us about an hour and a half, a little more, to get into the mood of the actual full moon. A great strengthener, and may we be strengthened. I come forth, and from the plane of mind I rule. I come forth. And from the plane of mind, I rule. And over the next days, starting from, it'll be in the middle of the night here, but wherever it is for you, just keep that mantra close to your heart and mind. Who are you? From whence do you come forth? What aspect of the plane of mind? What are you ruling? you have a chance to begin again, a new cycle. And may it mean that humanity too, really most importantly, can be new, take a new cycle and get rid of those vestigial patterns that just don't work, and the clearing of which necessitated the pandemic. Now, I'm not trying to say the way some groups, religions say, oh, it's God. God is punishing humanity for what it's done wrong. It's not that. It's there's always a deep love. He breathes forth light supernal, love eternal, peaceful, silent will. So it's to help humanity. It's not like a wrathful Jehovah. The sooner we get love into our being, the sooner this tribulation will end. From the one about whom not to be said, of which Aries is one of the heart and the head petals, to the great bear, let us say, and into the cosmic logos of which our sun is a part, and through a sun there that represents the first ray, and into our solar system, and through some of these planets, which have strong first ray, and to the Earth, the great flood of energy from Aries comes forth. Strengthening the monad, strengthening the soul, strengthening the personality, and equipping us better to play our part, since we know a little bit about it, in clearing the debris and bringing the divine plan to Earth. And wherever in the world this mantra applies, just about everywhere, really, see it somewhere doing its work, ruling from the plane of soul, the monadic power anchoring on the soul plane and ruling and distributing and creating the emergence that we need of the second ray soul of this planet. It's the will towards the second ray. So let's do better. Let's be wiser. Let's be stronger. And on these days of distribution, let's use our imaginations and find where the energy can go and sustain it. I come forth, and from the plane of mind, I rule. So, it's about 5 hours before we begin the actual full moon, exact moment meditation service that will be led by Tuya. It will be a broadcast. And I don't know what time it'll be for us. It'll be the dead of night, but whatever works for you, remembering that there is a moment which is unrepeatable when a door opens. And especially in times like this, and at the beginning of the astrological year, and at the beginning of the three spiritual festivals, we want to be as present as possible. So, let us just close our meditation. With sounding together the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth. Into the minds of men, let light descend on earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know. And serve. From the center which we call the race of men, or maybe from the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide, yes, the purpose which the masters know and serve. And from the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. So, friends, many blessings, lots of love. If I could say another 5 hours or so, Tuya will be presenting the broadcast, music, images, and so forth. And we'll be celebrating the exact moment of the full moon at 2:35. And 56, 2:34 and 56 seconds. Let's really dig in. Make the effort. Appropriate the energies available. Courage, ideation, creativity. So many things you can name and really be of value in this difficult time. Like I say, I turn to the Johns Hopkins tabulation, and up, 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 always up, up, up. Worldwide, and the deaths, and so let us learn our lessons somehow. And let us internally help and be of value. We will, you know, when this is converted, we'll put it up because we still have several, a few days left to work together to distribute these important strengthening energies. So, see you soon, and lots of love, and many blessings to everybody. And let's really absorb this Aries energy. And remember, that's it's a broadcast. Therefore, it means it's coming via our YouTube, which, you know, you've had for a long time. Moria Federation Esoteric Education, our YouTube link. And if you don't have that link, write to me or write to Michael, Stacy, or Joe Waltz, or B.L. Allison, and we'll make sure that you get that link. But you should have it by now. It's a really important one, and we've been dealing with it a long time. Yes, BL, is that you? Yes?
Yes. The link that I gave them to go to the esoteric astrology information for Aries, that's on our Moira Federation external website, and they should see the Aries full moon events there on that sidebar. On the left, so that will give them the link, you know, the broadcast link and everything.
Okay,
it's the dates and times of the remaining events.
Just a precaution, everybody should have it, you know. But thank you, BL, and thank you, team that is assisting, and thank you all for being here. Lots of love. See you pretty soon. Okay.